B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. 610-632-0975 is the number to participate. 4 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landisbc.com. He also brings our 4 o'clock guest. And I'm upset because I actually need to talk to Brian today. Whenever I need this guy, it rubs me the wrong way. Mr. Brian Westbrook, what's going on, Brian?
Good afternoon, Ty. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right, man. And I need you because you played in the NFL. And I'm trying to figure some things out now that the Carson Wentz trade is going through. Mm-hmm. And we get a report now, and I think some of this is after the fact damage control and character assassination, but maybe not. You were in the NFL locker room for a long time, so you know better than me. There's a report now that Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson didn't speak for 8, 9, 10 weeks. And from the outside, I'm like, how is that possible for the head coach and the quarterback to not talk at all for 8, 9, 10 weeks? And then my other thing is, who would be the person to tell somebody that after the fact? And so, like, number one is, you were in the NFL locker room for a long time. Is that even possible? And number two, who would leak that out if it isn't possible?
Well, yeah, you know, Ty, I think it's really hard to think that the head coach and the guy that really has the control at the line of scrimmage, the control in the locker room as a leader, the face of your franchise, that those guys don't speak to each other. I mean, when you talk about a team and having the ability to win games, because that was obviously the goal when going back to last year, you have to believe the head coach and the quarterback, if anybody else is not on that same page, those two guys have to at least be on the same page. And to hear that, you know, from the report from Schefter that, you know, they weren't talking for a long time period, that's just, it's, first of all, it's disappointing, but it's also, now you can see why there were so many issues coming out throughout the season. So many, backbiting type of statements, so many things that were anti-establishment coming out, because no one in the higher up of the whole organization, you're talking about the quarterback, the coach and the quarterback and the GM, no one wanted to talk to each other. And so that's just a bad place to be in. Doesn't speak very highly of a franchise that, you know, I had a lot of success with and I thought was a well-run franchise.
And that was the thing. You see, Carson Wentz is gone now, and we're still here in Philadelphia, and we're going to have to watch the Eagles going forward with these same people in charge. So let's say a 1 week goes by, and the coach and the quarterback aren't speaking. What does the GM and what should the owner do at that point? Because one thing that's become clear, the Jalen Hurts pick, and we'll talk about it, was definitely partially from Jeffrey Lurie, who was a big fan of it. Multiple people have reported that. Tim McManus reported that. It's been all over the place that pick was in large part due to the owner. Not that he was the only guy, but Lurie was big on that pick. So it's not like he's this super hands-off guy anymore. What should the GM and the owner should have done if those guys go 1 week without speaking?
Well, if they know. Now, you know, we all understand how these reports work, and we never necessarily know who has made these reports up or at least spoken these reports, because they may have an axe to grind. They may have some stake in the game with some of these reports. So we always got to understand that. But I think if you're the GM or the owner at that case, and your star player, the face of your franchise and your head coach are not speaking, now it's time to have that meeting that says, okay, what are we doing here? Because I have to have both of you guys on the same page so we can move forward. I paid both of you guys good money to find ways to work together so we can be successful. And apparently that conversation wasn't had either. That, again, that's disappointing from an organizational standpoint, because these are people that you have, you know, invested a lot of time, money, draft picks, everything into. And for those two guys not to be able to speak, it's just almost unforgivable when you look at the entirety of the franchise.
And that's why something about it. And if the report is true, it doesn't just make Carson Wentz look bad, in my opinion. You can correct me. To me, it makes Doug look bad a little bit while he's not here. Howie look bad and the owner look bad, because my question then is, who do you think, and I'm not talking about you to say names, I'm saying who do you think would leak that out? Would it be a player? Would it be a front office person? Would it be an ex-coach? How does that story get to Adam Schefter? Because I'm not accusing Adam Schefter of lying. I'm saying I don't know if it's totally true, because it feels like there might be, as you mentioned, people with an axe to grind. That doesn't mean that Schefter wasn't told that. That doesn't mean that multiple people didn't tell him. But who shares information like that this much after a season?
Well, I mean, if I haven't tried to play detective here, I have to think of someone that, you know, would, I guess their value would increase by something like this being reported. It probably is not Carson. This doesn't necessarily help him as far as his value, the perception around him. It doesn't help Doug Peterson, I don't think. I mean, he doesn't even look like he's going to coast this season. So you have to, in this scenario that we're thinking about, it has to come down to Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman. I don't necessarily know that, you know, that Jeffrey speaks to Adam Schefter very often. I don't know if he speaks to the owner. And it could be Jeffrey Lurie. It certainly could be Howie Roseman. If we had to, you know, kind of go through and do detective work, my first guess would be Howie Roseman. But, again, we don't know this. We have no clue.
Right.
And we also got to be very careful, because there are times when Adam Schefter, you know, uses some liberty here as far as some of his reporting. So, I don't want to question anyone. But I have to be very careful in the things that we hear, because not everything that we hear is all the way the truth.
Yeah, and that's part of what goes to my mind with a situation like that. Have you ever, obviously, when you were with the Eagles, and this is, again, why I need to have you on, which is just painful for me. When you were with the Eagles, they were pretty much a buttoned-up, well-run organization with this same owner.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there was times when five... And Andy, there's no way they got along all the time. There's no way like that. Right. Yet you don't remember a time in which both of them would go a long period of time without speaking, or you're not aware of anything like that, right? They spoke like every day, right?
Yeah. But Ty, it takes, you know, two people to do that. And this is just my thought. Again, I don't have any input as far as I've heard a lot of different things from players, you know, and when you talk to players, like I talk to players all the time, you get different perspectives because they have different sides. One player talks to Doug more than the other. One player talks to Carson more than the other. So you're getting, you know, sometimes conflicting reports. But I think when it comes down to it, you have to have two parties willing to do the right thing. From every report I've read, every person that I've talked to on that team, Doug has been a player's coach. He's been a guy that understands the significance of having a quarterback lead your team and how important that role is. As far as in your locker room, it's hard for me to believe that Doug Peterson purposely or willfully did not want to talk to his starting quarterback. That doesn't even seem to me, the person that I know, and I know Doug since he was on our coaching staff back in the day when I was playing, that doesn't seem like the type of person that Doug is. It just doesn't. It doesn't jive with the person that I knew at that time. And I never knew Doug as the head coach. Yeah, I didn't play underneath Doug Peterson as the head coach. And now you have to say, okay, if Carson, based upon things that Carson has said himself about himself, you know, there are times where Carson felt he was a little selfish. There were times that he can be a better teammate. If any of those things are true, then I have to look at what's going on here and say, okay, well, maybe that's part of the blame too. So yes, there's some parts that should be blamed on Doug Peterson. There's some parts that we should blame on Carson Wentz. Obviously, Howie has played a part in this, and Jeffrey Lurie, as far as being the head of this whole organization, has played a part in this as well. You can't look at any of those guys and say, hey, I want to put all the blame on any one of those parts without blaming the others. It just wouldn't make any sense.
I agree with that. But one of the guys isn't here anymore. The other guys are. So my concern throughout this, and I'm going to get to my theory of what happened. You're going to talk to Derek Gunn at 4:30, and you guys are going to get into the why. Because I can't talk about the why anymore. It's driving me crazy. So I'm going to let you guys, you know, have a little bit of a reunion from the pregame show, and you guys can talk about the why. But the fact that it happened, period, and, okay, Wentz is gone. And you said you can't only blame Wentz. That means that I'm telling you, I have some fear. Not that something exactly the same could happen again, but there's some systems in place. There's some systems not in place within this Eagles organization right now, and things are not running the way I think they should run. Is it fair for me to have those fears right now? Wentz is gone, but I don't think, okay, everything's perfect now because Wentz is gone.
Of course. I mean, I think you have to have those fears, because if you're telling me that Carson was part of the problem, Doug was part of the problem, as well as Howie and Jeffrey, you know, half of that equation is still in place. Half of the reason why we had a big issue from a guy that got paid a bunch of money in 2019, a guy that has made a Pro Bowl here in Philadelphia, a guy that led us to 11-2, that guy that you've dedicated a lot of draft picks and money towards, that guy, the face of your franchise, not being here, but the guys that kind of put everything in motion for that guy to leave and for him to leave in the way that he left, half of those guys are still here, meaning Jeffrey and Howie. I guess the answer to your question is that this same thing that could happen could potentially happen again if they didn't learn anything from the interaction. If Howie goes into the same situation and 2 years down the road, Jalen Hurts is the franchise guy, he goes and drafts another quarterback in the second round, then obviously he didn't learn anything from this situation. If he has learned something, that he's going to have to take into account what the locker rooms feel, what's the feel in the quarterback room, it's not necessarily just the dollars and cents of a business, but it goes the feel of the business too. And I think he didn't take that part into consideration this time. And I think that's the biggest part that Carson Wentz had a problem with. He had a problem with the draft pick. He had a problem with the way that things were run. Well, a part of that is certainly Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie.
And right there, so my word of the day is easy. And I think that we could talk about the why and the how and what should have happened. But I think the reality, now that we know what happened, he's gone, he's with the Colts now. They draft Jalen Hurts. Wentz then at that moment decided he didn't trust the coach, he didn't trust the GM, he didn't trust the owner. Mm-hmm. And throughout the year, for whatever reason, those guys did not get his trust back, and thus they had to part ways. To me, we can talk about the how and the why and what should have happened, but to me, that's what happened. He got drafted, Wentz lost trust, and those guys, whether they should have or shouldn't have, never got that trust back.
Well, but Ty, I mean, here's a question that I have to ask. How could they have gotten his trust back? How could they have gained Carson Wentz's trust back after they did something that, I guess in Carson's mind, is so unforgivable? Because for me, and this is just me, and I've never been a franchise quarterback. I've been around, you know, the best franchise quarterback in Eagles history, mm-hmm. Donovan McNabb. But for me, at some point, you have to get over that. And now my job is to go win games. Jalen Hurts got drafted in the draft, whatever, you know, in the springtime. Carson Wentz had a lot of time to get over that. And now let's go find a way to win games. Because he doesn't owe that to Howie and Jeffrey and Doug, per se. He owes it to the other 52 guys in the locker room. What about those guys? They're probably upset about different things going on with their contract or different things going on in their family or with sports life. But they can't just say, okay, I'm going to trash this season. I mean, you still got to come out and give me what we think you are. You still have to come out and show me that you're the good player.
But you don't think he tried? I think he tried and failed. I don't think he didn't try. I think he failed. There's a difference, in my opinion, between trying and failing and not even trying.
But I'm not saying he didn't try, because I think he tried. But, I mean, for me, watching Carson this season.
You think he was just mailing it in?
It wasn't that he wasn't. It's hard for me to understand how you go from a top 10 quarterback to one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to understand that if we're missing. Are you meaning to tell me it's the mental side that Jalen Hurts is behind you? That's the only reason? That's hard for me to understand that and still expect him to be able to bounce right back from that this season. Those two things are hard for me to grasp in my head.
For me, I think it was about, I don't trust anybody in this building. I don't think it was just the Hurts. I think the Hurts thing was a symptom of a problem of, I don't trust the mm-hmm. coach. I don't trust the GM's decisions. I don't like this GM. I don't trust the owner, because he found out, probably just like every other reporter found out, that the owner was the one who pushed the pick. I think he looked at it as, these guys are basically my enemies. I think that's what happened.
Okay, let's let's stay right there. So if let's say he felt that, and I'm not saying that I'm not saying that he's wrong for feeling that way. Let's say he feels that way. But that in my all those things still don't explain the bad play. I mean, I don't trust any of those guys. I don't think they're anything that doesn't change your instincts. That doesn't change your fundamentals. That doesn't change the things that you see with your eyes, the ability to read coverages. So all those things can be true. And I'm not saying that they're false, but how does that affect me on the field? And that may affect my preparation. Okay.
Well the preparation will affect your mechanics, wouldn't it?
Quarterback. Well, if I'm one of the top 10 quarterback, for me to go to one of the worst quarterbacks, it's just hard for me to understand. As a player, it's hard for me to understand that all the pressure of this organization and leading this football team is on my shoulders. And I allow that to affect not just me, but the other 52 guys on the team that had nothing to do with the pick, that had nothing to do with the inner workings between you and Doug or Howie and yourself or yourself and Jeffrey Lurie. What about the what you owe to your brothers that have blood, sweat, and shared tears with you? What about what you owe to them? To me, I would be looking a little bit further than just what was going on for me between me and the management. I would be looking at the other guys and say, okay, I'm still going to go out there and try to perform up to that level. And I know it kind of seems like it sounds like I'm saying that he didn't, but I mean, the proof is in the pudding. When you look at his play, if you're telling me the reason why he played that way is because all this Jalen Hurts stuff, then he didn't dedicate this season to his brothers like I would expect my franchise quarterback to do.
Now, that part is fair. He's responsible for his own play 100%. 100% he's responsible for his own play. There's nobody else responsible for Carson Wentz's play except for Carson Wentz. The situation they got in, I think, is a much larger issue. That's where I'm at.
Oh, it's a bad situation. No, it's a terrible situation for Carson to be, you know, kind of get a guy behind you. And this is my theory on this Jalen Hurts thing. I think Howie Roseman, after winning a Super Bowl with Nick Foles your backup, he's getting patted on his back and he's saying all the things that you would expect him to say. Hey man, this is why you got to go get you a quality backup in the league, because you never know when your starter gets hurt. And it just so happens that our starter, you know, through no fault of his own, injuries happen in the NFL, that Carson continues to get hurt, it happens. So in his mind, again, I'm trying to think through this thing through Howie Roseman's mind. He's saying, okay, well, we got to get a quality backup. We have to get a guy that we have faith in, that if Carson gets hurt again, that we can play. Now, I'm not saying that's the right thought process, because, of course, I feel like they had a bunch of other holes. And it's hard to put another quarterback in that same room with your franchise guy. But I think that's what Howie was thinking through. Because don't forget, Howie was patted on the back for bringing in a veteran quarterback like Nick Foles here. And, of course, winning Super Bowl with him. He was patted on the back for that. And
right.
He wanted to try to replay that in his mind, I believe.
Yeah, the only difference was when they got Foles, the circumstances were he was close to retirement coming out of the Chiefs. And then they convinced him to come back.
Agree.
And he enters the room with a different status than a guy who was just second in the Heisman voting.
Well, I guess you would think that Jalen Hurts enters the room with the face of the franchise in the room. And there was nothing that would disturb that unless he had terrible play like Carson Wentz had this season. I mean, that's the other side.
Well,
Roseman misread the whole situation, and he's saying, okay, I'm thinking Carson is secure. We just paid him. He should feel secure. And now with Jalen Hurts, he's solely the backup. That's it. We're not going to even play him. We're not going to think about him. He's solely the backup. Maybe he misread and misunderstood where Carson was at mentally. And I think that's a big problem that we still have to deal with moving forward. Because, again, that guy, Howie Roseman, is still here. And he could potentially make those same type of decisions unless he learned from what happened between Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz.
And that, sir, is my concern. All right. We got Derek Gunn on the other side. So callers, just be patient. We're going to talk to Derek Gunn. And I want you two guys to talk about some of the why. I know Derek has his own reporting. I want you to be able to respond to some of that stuff as well. Because my fear is the systems that are in place now, as I said earlier in the hour, it's not going to be the exact same problem. But some other problem that should not happen is going to happen again, because the wrong people are in charge with the Eagles organization, and that's my fear going forward. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. And it's time to update our Twitter poll. And that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons.
Alrighty, Ty. Today's poll has over 2,100 votes on it so far. If Jalen Hurts wasn't drafted this year, would Carson Wentz still be the Eagles quarterback? 88% say yes, 12% say no. So still, it's a large number.
Yes, we have Brian Westbrook for the entire hour. And on the line right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, bounce forward, is Mr. Derek Gunn. How are you today?
Mister, what is with this mister stuff?
This is what I do, man. What I do.
The only time I get called mister is when somebody needs money. I hope you don't need money.
No. I mean, I could always use money, but nah, I don't. So you just heard the Twitter poll. Brian's going to be with you. I want you guys to get into a little bit of the why, because you're an insider. You know what's what. Brian has been in NFL locker room, so I wanted you guys to get on at the same time today. But you just heard the Twitter poll, and 88% of the people believe that if the Eagles did not draft Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz would still be the quarterback. Derek, do you agree with that basic statement?
Yeah, I agree with the fact. I think Jeffrey Lurie would have jumped in even more so and tried to be a mediator and get everybody to come to a meeting of the minds. And I think Carson would still be here. But I also believe now, because they did draft Jalen Hurts and things just disintegrated the way it did between the coaches, between Carson and Howie, that this was the best alternative for everybody involved.
Right now, Ryan thinks that, there's a new story out that the head coach and the quarterback didn't speak for maybe 8, 9, 10 weeks. And whether or not it's true or not, if that's true, Brian thinks that that's obviously a issue where all the parties in blame, the quarterback, the coach, the GM, and the owner, would all have to take some blame. Number one, do you believe that story that those guys didn't speak for 8, 9, 10 weeks? And two, then, if it is true, how does it happen?
You know, I don't know if it was 8, 9, 10 weeks. I do know there was a strained relationship between the two. We've seen that in different sports. You know, a coach and a player will have a difference of opinion. Sometimes they can be resolved, and other times one party has to move on. So the way I saw it was, once Doug was out of the equation, I thought maybe Carson will stay here now and continue to prove people wrong who thought that he was what he was in 2020. But it became obvious that it was much greater than just the relationship or lack thereof between Doug and Carson. Obviously, it carried over to upstairs in the organization in general. So with that said, I'm shocked, number one, that Doug Peterson's not here, but I'm not so shocked when you look at the bigger scheme of things that Carson is not here now. And I go back to what I said originally. When it gets to this point, it's best for all parties involved to resolve this any way you can. Unfortunately, the Eagles didn't get what they might have thought that they were going to get for him, like the Rams got for Jared Goff. But, you know, if the coach and the player could not resolve the issue, and it began to affect not only their performances on the field, but locker room as well, then change was needed. You have to have change.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, before the break, Derek, Brian said that I have a fear that there's certain systemic things that are systemic problems within the organization don't leave just because Carson Wentz leaves. And Brian, I think you said that was fair to say, right, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, if you're telling me that the coach and the quarterback aren't speaking, then we have a GM problem because he should have stepped in at some point and said, hey, you two guys have to get along. And of course, if that didn't work, then of course the owner has to come into the play just a little bit. But I mean, if all those people, all those, you know, organizational steps failed, never were able to get to Carson, the guy that you thought the world loved, had a fat head in your office and gave a bunch of money to, if none of those guys can get to him, then, you know, and we still have two of those guys still here, then potentially the same thing could happen again, even with Nick Sirianni and another player. And to me, that would be a big time concern if I'm Jeffrey Lurie. How do we avoid what happened, what we're doing right now, taking the biggest dead money hit in the history of the NFL, trading away a franchise quarterback that we moved up in the draft to get. And now we have to draft better, which we haven't done very well recently. And we have to find a way to win, you know, with a lesser of a team. And especially with that dead cap money, that's hard for me to understand if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, hard position to be in, of course, if you're a part of this organization.
Now, Derek, what's your response to that? Is it fair? You're inside. Are fans right to be concerned about some systemic issues within this organization?
Yes, they are. After what we've just witnessed in 2020, you know, somebody has to step up and squash this. Okay, so you're basically clearing house and you're starting anew. So like Brian said, you have to make sure something like this doesn't happen moving forward. And if it even comes to that, you're going to have to make an example of somebody along the way. You can't let this just fester for an entire season or the majority of a season. You have to make sure that this doesn't happen. And whether it's between the coach and a player, the GM coaching a player, you as the owner, the father of this organization, you have to tell all your children, look, whatever your outside noise is, squash it. Handle your business the way you're supposed to handle it when you come to work. Act like professionals. You don't have to like everybody you work with, but I'm telling you right now, you better doggone sure get along with everybody if you want to continue to be a part of this thing.
We're talking to Derek Gunn and Brian Westbrook.
You know, D-Gunn, let me ask you a question here. Let me ask D-Gunn a question, because I think this is interesting, because I heard a lot of people earlier mentioning, yeah, man, this is all Doug's responsibility. You know, he's the father in this situation. He should have been able to go to Carson and, you know, be on his doorstep if he couldn't talk to him in the building, if he's blowing us off, things like that. And is it your thought process that Doug didn't do those things, that Doug wouldn't do those things if necessary? And do you believe that in this case, it's going to take two people there? It's going to take Doug if he has to try, but Carson has to be receptive to it as well. And, you know, I'm not saying that we need to figure out who's to blame here, because both of the guys are gone. But wouldn't it take two people at that point to be able to pull this thing off and try to mend those fences?
Yeah, like they say, you know, it takes two people to tango. I believe that Doug tried to approach him and talk to him about it. And I believe they just kept butting heads. And then you started hearing all the stories about Carson changing plays, Carson being uncoachable, and pushed it to a point where Doug, you know, finally told Jeffrey how he looked. You know what? I got to do something. I got to make a statement here. So he benched the guy. You know, enough was enough. I mean, how many weeks do you continue to let the inmates run the asylum? Okay? So he got to a point, if everything that we've heard on the rumor mill was true about Carson, then enough is enough. And as I said before, you have to make an example. Because if you let one player get away with it, Brian, you know this, being in the locker room for as long as you have, how many other players are going to try it as well down the road? If that happens, you have no respect from the players. If you don't make an example of the guy who's the highest paid player on your team, who is the face of your franchise, at some point, and especially when you're losing the way you're losing, I don't care about how many players fell by the wayside due to injuries, but if you keep losing the way you're losing and you let a pouting child continue to do what he wants to do, then you have no right to have any respect in that locker room. You have to take a definitive stance, which is what the end result was.
That's a good point. That's an interesting point. So now going forward, both of you gentlemen, with DeSean Jackson released today, their Eagles are up to $39 million in dead cap space on the dead cap right now, with more to come. Mm-hmm. Is it realistic to think they'll be able to field a competitive team with these kind of shackles on the salary cap?
You know, when I think about it, I think they'll have a bunch of young guys playing. And if these guys play above their head without mistake, then they'll be competitive. But what happens with young guys is that they're inconsistent with their play. You know, you maybe get some lower level free agents that they're probably going to be inconsistent. They're probably going to make a bunch of mistakes. So I think there will be games where they'll be competitive, but there'll be other games where you're like, you didn't even show up. And that's part of the inconsistency of young players. That's part of the inconsistency of guys that are on the lower level of free agency, because they're not going to get paid a bunch of money. If you want consistency and great play all the time, you got to pay those guys. Those are the guys that we probably won't be able to afford for the next couple of years.
Here's the way I see it. This fan base is passionate enough and football smart enough to know what they're seeing. If they see a product on the field that is young, struggling, but continuously improving, and I don't mean in terms of W's and L's, even if this team went 4-12, if the fan base can see that these young kids are improving and have not just potential, but probability to be frontline players in 2022 and beyond, I think they will give this team a grace period in 2021. Yes, they'll be frustrated. You'll hear the negative comments, but the negativity won't rain down on them if it's just a bunch of Keystone Cops running around on the field with no consistency and no direction. If this coaching staff turns out to be what people have told me it could possibly be, Nick Sirianni, in terms of the type of offense he wants to run, if they hit a home run in the draft, and that's a big if, you know, considering who's running the draft and what we've seen from the draft over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
If they can hit a home run in this draft, because they're going to compile more picks. They're going to get compensatory picks, you know, for all these veteran players who are leaving out. They're going to have a bunch of picks. And not just the first round, but second, third, fourth round. If you can hit home runs and find some diamonds in the roughs in those rounds, I think people will be a lot more patient with this team in 2021.
All right. That's fair.
Well, D-Gun, when has that happened? When have they hit on the draft in that way? It's been a long time since they hit on multiple players in one draft. I think that's fear for many people.
I agree with you. But you know what? Lightning can strike, you know, you never know. You know, you got to have faith. At some point, he's got to get it right. You know, and you hope he gets it right. You know, Andy Weidel's still there. He's supposed to be this scouting guru. Okay, give him more of a prominent role. You know, we know how he's making the final calls on draft day, but give Andy Weidel more of a prominent role. Give him and his staff. That's why you hired these guys. Go out and find me the diamonds in the roughs. We already know who the obvious first-round picks are going to be. But beyond that, find me those diamonds in the roughs. Find me those second, third-round picks that the Kansas Cities, the Green Bays, the Baltimores always find, and turn them into frontline players, consistent players, Pro Bowl-type players.
Yep, and I think that'll be the key. Derek, I really, really, really appreciate the time. And for people out there that aren't aware about the podcast, can you tell them about it real fast?
Yeah, you know, everybody out there, you know, when you get a chance, check out Gun on One, the podcast. I just had Adam Kaplan on today. We're breaking down the Carson Wentz deal. Next week, I believe it's going to drop on Monday. I have Troy Vincent, who is basically second in command of the National Football League, talking about the things they went through just to get through this season and how they got through it from start to finish. They had some obstacles and hurdles to overcome, but the season started on time and finished on time. So he's going to go in depth about what they had to do to make that happen as well. So Gun on One, the podcast, wherever you get your podcast, whatever platform, you know, I appreciate everybody out there who listens to it.
Appreciate it, Derek. You enjoy the rest of your day and have a good weekend.
You too. You guys have a great weekend.
All right. That was
See
Derek.
You, D-Gun.
That was Derek Gunn. All right, so we got, on the other side, we're going to finally get to the phone calls. Only a three-minute break here, and then we're going to run the phones with Brian. I know a lot of people want to talk to you, Brian, about this situation. So one more segment to go with Brian, and we're going to get to as many phone calls on the other side as we can. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, indeed. Tyrone Johnson and for Mike Missanelli here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia with Brian Westbrook. I want to get to some people who have been being patient on the phones. Steve and Camp Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone. I've been watching this show for a long time. Natalie, Tyler, good to see you.
Thank you, Steve.
Hey, I'm a Colts fan.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, I'm born and raised in Pennsylvania. And due to my father, who just turned 87 in January, I'm a born Phillies, Flyers, Eagles, Sixers fan. So I just want to let you know that.
Right, why are you a Colts fan?
Well,
sounds like your dad's gentleman of distinction, yet you're rooting for the Colts.
Of course. I was actually born in Philly, but didn't live there long. Well, in 1967, when I was 10, I came across the quarterback play of a man named Johnny Unitas, and he just captured me. So I've just been a Colts fan since. And my father didn't care about that. I mean, he let me be what I wanted to be. But the point is, I'm still an Eagles fan. They are my second team. And when I'm not watching the Colts, I'm watching the Eagles. Now that Wentz is my guy, I have to defend him a little bit here because it's kind of upsetting that he's been referred to as a diva, crying about this, didn't handle that well, didn't say that right. But not once did I see him in front of a camera or a microphone crying the blues.
Right. Now, listen, that doesn't mean he's not a diva and all that kind of stuff, though. What I'm saying, he's clearly not the devil because he won't come out and say things. That doesn't mean, though, he's not a diva or any of those things. Like, multiple things can be true at the same time. I think the stories that Wentz is the worst human being ever born, and he's the worst, I don't believe those, but I also don't believe he's a choir boy in the locker room either. Like, two things can be true at the same time, right, Brian? People can be complicated.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to be the worst person, but I mean, he can still commit, acts or things that just don't go along with being a team player. And I think that can be true. And you can say that about a lot of players, but you also are not going to say that about a lot of guys that are getting paid franchise money, that are the face of their franchise, that are doing these things and are not performing on the field. Because those things don't normally go together. When you have some of these things that have been reported, again, these are all reports, but when you have some of these things, at some point, coaches and GMs say, okay, I don't want to deal with that because your play is not dictating that I have to deal with that. You know, and so I just, when we hear all these things that have come out in the reports and we put them in the context of even some of the bad play, we have to say, okay, we can't have both. We can't have, you know, some of the locker room issues and have some of the bad play as well. Again, those things are being reported, but at some point they've been reported every year for the last 3 years. Maybe some of it is true, and maybe some of those things have to be addressed, not only with the quarterback, but with everyone in the organization so that we won't have this same situation again. I mean, to me, again, it's not about Carson Wentz at this point. He's gone, but we don't want to repeat of what has happened over the last couple of years where we've allowed a franchise quarterback to become one of the worst quarterbacks in football and also put him in a situation where he feels alienated, it seems, from all the reports.
And that part is the part that I'm most concerned about going forward. Whatever Wentz does, I just hope they get a first-round pick from the Colts. That's really the only thing I can really worry about in that way. Mike and Del Rang, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, Tyron?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, I just want to point out the obvious violation. Don't wait on hold for an hour to tell me the Eagles are your second team.
Don't get me started on that.
I just have two quick questions. I wanted to get both your guys' opinions on, and Brian, too, former player. So during the season, I thought Carson Wentz and Folgum were starting to get like a rhythm, right?
Yes.
And then they just stopped playing him. Like, looking back at everything we've heard now and know, like, as a player or whatever, if you're a guy in a locker room and you see something like that, does that mean anything to anybody, or do fans like me just blow that out of proportion? Like, why would you take away the guy that you're building this repertoire with? I didn't understand.
Apparently, Brian, one of the things that we're talking about reports and stuff because we won't know for sure, Mike, is that when it came to Folgum all along, Wentz and him in practice had a good rapport, and Doug Peterson liked Folgum. The reports were that the reason he was cut initially out of camp was Howie Roseman going above Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz, who both liked him, making that decision. And it also was reported that Howie picks who dresses, who doesn't, and he influences playing time. So if I think in this particular case, the reason the Fulgham thing happened was Fulgham was not the shiny draft pick, if you remember. Everybody's talking about Fulgham and not talking about Rager. And I think Howie, it seems like Howie dictated a lot of that stuff outside of the coach and the quarterback. And that's one of the issues I have with the organizational structure, because I think that remains, even as the coach changes, Howie still has final say on the roster and who dresses.
Yeah, and then real quick, the second question.
You know, one of the other things.
Oh, sorry, Ryan. Sorry.
No. Just one of the other things that was mentioned, and I heard this from Doug a bunch, that Travis Fulgham has to practice a little bit better, and especially when you're not that first round draft pick or whoever that they're expecting to play, you have to practice on a different level. And I kind of went through that throughout my career. I was a third rounder. I had to practice on a different level just to get my playing time. And I think Travis Fulgham has to take some of those.
Well, looks like Brian dropped out. But the hour is over anyway, unfortunately. I'd like to thank Brian for the great job that he did. He was brought to us by Landis Block. Get your jaw-dropping paradise online at landisbc.com. I think he just zotsed out at the end, but at least he had good timing with it. All right, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. I'm going to start the 5 o'clock hour with a celebration. Yes, 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 people. Yes, 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 people. I am starting the 5 o'clock hour with a celebration. Oh, this is the best news I've had in quite a while, and I can't wait to talk about it. Nat's going to mention it in her update, and then I'm going to celebrate it at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. I can't wait, and you can join us, 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.